Lecture 22, Honen, Shinran, and Nichiren.
We've just discussed the origins of Japanese Buddhism and talked about the great figure Prince Shotoku, who introduced Buddhism to Japan, or at least was instrumental in making Buddhism a part of Japanese political program. We also talked about the Nara period, where Buddhism became an established part of Japanese political ideology, and then moved on to talk about the Heian period. This is a pretty speedy trip through Japanese history, truth be told. In the Heian period, there were two major schools, the Shingon school associated with Kukai, and the Tendai school associated with Saisho. Now, in this lecture, you all should buckle your seatbelts, and we're going to take an emotional ride through the period known as the Kamakura period, when the capital shifted from Kyoto to the city of Kamakura. Now, after the gentle sophistication and refinement of life in the Heian period, it was a happy and in many ways a very sophisticated and courtly time, the Kamakura period, which lasted from 1192 to 1333, brought an experience of great turbulence and danger to Japan. Feudal armies once again began to roam the countryside as different clans battled for control back and forth between different parts of the country. And eventually, of course, a single clan managed to defeat its rivals and establish a military government in Kamakura. But the danger was really not past. This was also a time, if you can remember these dates, it's not always easy to pin down the significance or have the significance of dates as long ago as the 11th or 12th or 13th centuries become clear, but around the year 1300 was the time when the Mongols moved across Asia. They dominated all of Asia from the shore of the Black Sea to the Sea of Japan, and they threatened Japan. So that even when the military government had established itself in Kamakura and brought Japan into something like a situation of peace, there still was this immense foreign threat that lurked just across the sea, the Mongols preparing their invasion fleet to invade Japan. The turbulence of this period brought a sense of crisis and a new sense of urgency to Buddhist practice. It was associated in the Japanese mind in this period with an old Buddhist doctrine we haven't talked about at all in the course of these lectures, called the degenerate age of the Dharma. In Japanese, this is known as Mappo. The idea is that the Dharma started out in a golden age, really, during the lifetime of the Buddha, when he preached it to people who were well prepared to receive it and could practice it and achieve nirvana in a lifetime or two, and really embody the teaching that he had presented to them. Interestingly enough, in the early centuries after the death of the Buddha, the Buddhist community in India began to develop an idea, it's related to Hindu ideas actually, that are quite similar, that Buddhism was declining. It was in an inevitable process of disintegration. It would mean it would be more and more difficult as each period and as each century went on for Buddhists to achieve the same kind of perfection and salvation that was accessible to them during the lifetime of the Buddha himself. This hasn't been important for us in a lot of the teachings that we've discussed so far. It doesn't come up in the Lotus Sutra. It's not important philosophically for Nagarjuna or for Tsongkhapa in Tibet. And it didn't appear often in China. But in this period in Japan, in the Kamakura period, people went back to this old idea of the degenerate age, and they saw in those old texts an experience that mirrored their own experience of Buddhist life in Japan during this turbulent and difficult time. And they looked around for new ways to try to practice the Dharma, as they sensed that the old teachings were in many respects dead for them, inaccessible. Modes of practice and modes of perfection that might have been great for people in earlier times, but were no longer really possible for them to practice in such a difficult environment.